Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Comedy Arcade, part friendly panel show, part vicious competition, where contestants fight with their best anecdotes on mystery topics generated through a trusty bingo ball. I'm Vic Slayton, host of the show, spirit of the bingo balls, and games master. Points will be awarded for originality, amusement value, and my general caprice and mood on the day. The contestant with the most points at the end of the game wins, but their opponents will be granted a few cheat codes along the way, just to keep it interesting.
Yeah, Rich has just sent me the words fuck, fuck, fuck. So sure. I guess we might see him again. But if not, we're going to crack on.
Cool. Right.
Welcome to the Comedy Arcade. I'm very excited. I've got, currently I've got an all-woman panel. But that's because there are only two panelists. So you're going to more than make up for our absent Rich Wilson.
I'll try.
I believe in you. That voice is Susie Ruffle. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very well. I'm a bit croaky, but other than that, totally fine.
It's nice though. It's a sexy husk.
Well, I feel like I'm doing sort of late night magic radio. Sort of like that was Luther Vandross. And now we've got Westlife.
Yeah. You should do that. It sounds good. Right? It suits you.
It's soothing.
Yeah, it's that's the midnight moment in an Uber crying station, isn't it? It's
like, yeah.
Why are you crying? I don't know.
I don't know, but I'm just feeling everything.
I'm just feeling so many emotions listening to Roxette. It must have been love. And we have the brilliant returning queen, Leslie and Burgess. How are you?
Hello. I'm good. I'm very sleep deprived, but I'm having a lovely time already.
Amazing. You don't seem sleep deprived. People can't see you, but
that's
true.
You
look great.
Oh, thanks. I feel it's just because I have my ring light on. I mean, some visuals for the podcast. you always post like stuff on social media. I made slightly an effort for that reason. I very much did not wear my pajamas for the reason of going, people will probably see my face.
So yeah. Leslie, you've already seen the rules because you've played the game. Susie, are you au fait with the rules?
Not massively, but I think no. I'll be fine.
No one ever is, to be honest.
That's great. That's great. Good to know.
Once somebody used one of the trick cards and I was so surprised it derailed the whole thing.
So. Okay, great. Well, I'm happy to just
freestyle.
Try.
Just chill. Yeah. We're just going to chat about things
great.
From this bingo ball. That is sellotape closed, so it's almost like I've pre-planned this, but but it does make a satisfying sound.
That is a satisfying sound.
I like how you still acknowledge that that's the case, even though it's not a live show, so people cannot see it.
Yeah,
it's texture.
Yeah. To be honest, I think, about these scenarios. Right, so the ball is, I'm shocked, it's celebrity encounters. Who have you met? And what were they like?
Go for it.
I'm very annoying with this sort of thing because one, I'm from Ottawa, Canada, where there's very few famous people. So it's still 8 years into living in London. It's still just a shocking thing to me to be able to just see famous people around. And two, I work in a coffee shop as my day job where all the famous people go. And so I very much am the person in any conversation where if anyone mentions anyone, I'm like, oh yeah, I know them. And everyone's just like, stop it. Like, it's just, I can hear myself and I can hear how annoying it is, but I'm just so excited about it all the time. But that said, actually, it's reminded me of one of my favorite stories ever, which actually was in Ottawa, Canada. It's my absolute only celebrity encounter in Ottawa, which is one time the actress Misha Barton was filming something in Ottawa, and I worked in a coffee shop there as well, and she apparently would be coming in. And so I heard from the owner, had two sons, and I heard from one of the sons that she was coming in. He was very excited about it. And so this went on for a while. And then one day my friend and I had finished work. We were in the back room. We were grabbing our stuff when the owner's son came in and was like, Leslie, Mark, Misha Barton's here. Come meet her. And so he brought us out to meet Misha Barton. And it was as awkward as you can expect. Because she just wanted a coffee. Like, she did not want to be introduced to people. And she was like, this kid was, he was just like, Misha, this is Leslie and Mark. And we're just like, hi. And she's like, hi. And that was the full encounter. But around this came one of my favorite stories that I tell people all the time still, which is the owner's other son, the brother of this one who was excited, clearly didn't know who Misha Barton was, but clearly was excited that there was a celebrity coming in. And so one day he was working on his own and she came in and he saw her and he went, are you the Mika Burton? It just remains like my friend Mark and I, this is probably about 10 years ago, we still text, are you the Mika Burton to each other very regularly.
That's so wrong in so many ways.
It was perfect.
I like it.
Do you know how she responded?
I sadly don't, but I imagine if she was unimpressed to have to meet people who did know who she was, I imagine someone really trying to like highball her and be like, I know exactly who you are, and get 100% of her name wrong would not have impressed her at all.
No, to be fair, I wouldn't have been very impressed by that.
I was incredibly impressed. It was amazing.
Because I did backyard comedy for the first time a couple of months ago, and they'd spelled both my first and my second name wrong, which completely ruined the moment of me taking a picture of the board, because I was like, I don't know who that person is.
Yeah,
that's not me.
I get that all the time, because so I have too many names and none of them are as simple as they should be, so I get that constantly. Like, if people get my name right, I'm like, oh my god, am I the queen? Like, it's sort of
you know me.
it's been it really blows me away. I'm just like, oh my god, you made the effort.
It's such a small effort as well, but it means so much.
It's like what we would all do for other people easily, but anyone else doing it is just like mind-blowing.
Because I had to rebrand, because my name was, well, people called me Vicky because it's Victoria, Vicky Layton, but Vicky Layton is Sticky Vicky from Benidorm, if you were to Google my name, who does a vagina Benidorm, magic show.
As in, she's not the TV show Benidorm,
she's in the TV show Benidorm, but she is a Benidorm legend because has this show that involves ping pong balls and light bulbs.
And she's an actual person, not a character.
She's a real person. So if you were to Google Vicky Layton, you shouldn't do it at work. And when my colleagues at work found out, I did not hear the end of it. So
imagine.
And also, can you imagine turning up, being booked for a show, and they're expecting that?
Yeah.
Oh, talking about your mum.
Also, can we just talk about how upsetting it's a very good nickname, but it's very bad. Sticky Vicky. Can we talk about that? It's horrible.
It is not great, is it? But do you know what the best thing about the whole thing is? Vicky actually is retired, but her daughter's now taken on the mantle of Sticky Vicky. So she's passed it down. It's a family vaginal magic dynasty.
What's her daughter's first name?
I don't know. I can't remember because I think I've repressed it.
It's got to be Nikki, right? It's got to be Nikki.
I kind of like the idea of it being like Susan, and then she's just Sticky Susan, or just like something that just does not. That still has alliteration, so it kind of works. So like something that really doesn't work is the funniest version for me.
Anyway, the category was celebrity. And going to Susie, have you encountered a nice celebrity or a shit celebrity?
I mean, I've met a handful of sort of famous people. It's sort of I mean, I'd say the most famous person I've met. I've met a couple of Spice Girls. Which is
the good ones? Or?
Good ones. Yeah, both good ones. So I was opening for Jo Lycett and Mel B came. That was very exciting.
She was one of my three favorites. I couldn't choose.
So she came backstage afterwards and told me I was funny, which was a pretty huge day for me, and then put a picture of me on her Instagram. Can you imagine? And then I also met Mel C, aka Sporty Spice. And this was because I was doing tour sport. I've done a lot of tour sport. I was doing tour sport for Alan Carr. And Alan had been invited to go to the to the revival of All Saints, you know, the band All Saints.
Yeah. So
Alan asked me to go as his plus one. Very exciting. Do you want to come? I mean, I was there an hour early, of course. So we go to Coco where the show's on.
I was at that.
You were at that. Okay, so yeah. I hate to brag, but I was in the friends and family area upstairs. Sure.
Yeah.
And so there were lots of friends and family.
I was not. I was right.
The girls around. And I was watching All Saints. I was having a great time. I was appreciating that Camouflage was back. And then I looked sort of to my left, and a few, you know, maybe like 2 meters away from me was Mel C. Now, I was a huge fan of the Spice Girls. I would say that Mel C was also my favorite. I'm gay, I'm a cliche.
It's gonna so sound like
there's, I mean, sure, that the signs were there. But so I said to Al, I was like, Al, Mel C's over there. And he was like, oh, I know Mel. Do you want to say hello to her? And I was like, Yeah, I wanna meet a Spice Girl, yeah. And so Alan took me over and was like, oh, hi, Mel, how are you? This is Susie. She's really funny. She does my tour support. And Mel was like, oh, you like Susie? How's it going? Nice to meet you. And I just stopped talking. I just didn't have any words. And then there was sort of quite a pregnant pause, which I'm sure Spice Girls, all of the Spice Girls are quite used to, especially women of my age, being... Yeah, just sort of lost for words at meeting them. And then all I sort of managed to say was, you really mean a lot to me.
Oh, that's so lovely.
I was probably late 20s at the time, maybe 30. And I just said, you really mean a lot to me. And she sort of went, oh, thanks. And then there was more silence. And then Alan just went, do you know what? I'm going to take her away. Nice to see you, Mel. Bye. And he just took her
away. That's a good friend. It's a good friend for introducing you, a good friend for ending that moment for everyone.
Yeah. I mean, it was pretty, it was quite embarrassing. I mean, not that she'll ever remember, because I imagine those sort of encounters happen to her daily. So if I was ever to meet her again, I would say, it's great to meet you. This is definitely the first time that we've met, in case you're thinking we've met before. We haven't, Mel. But yeah. Huge fan, apparently. Yeah.
I mean, oh, you must have seen me on. You'll have seen me on Live at the Apollo, Mel. That's what it is. That's why
From the telly. I'm sure Spice Girls. I'm sure all of the Spice Girls sit down together to watch Live at the Apollo, almost certainly. And if they don't, they just get up my YouTube and watch it. I'm convinced. Yeah.
It's happening. That's definitely a thing. Leslie, I was going to say, you look like you were really ready to say something. Poised for ages.
I do think that you mean a lot to me is quite nice compared to something I one time said. I ran unexpectedly into Alison Mosshart from the band The Kills, and also
Who
I love her so much. I'm like, I'm such a fan. And I ran into her unexpectedly at a club night one time, and I was like, it was just like in Camden Barfly, like somewhere tiny. And so I'm like, I have to say something. And so I went over. And I was like, okay, I have to say the perfect thing. And I got up to her and I went, hi, I'm a big fan. I kind of worship you a bit. It's worse.
Okay. Now,
I, she was really nice about it.
I think that's fine.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't feel okay about it.
No, but I think musicians know that. They get into music so that people can say that sort of shit to them.
Yeah. If someone said that to you, it would be a good day.
I don't know.
Didn't someone want to go shopping with you?
Oh my God. I don't know. I don't know if I should tell the story, because this person really replies to all my Instagram stories. So probably would listen to this. Huh. So I'll tell you guys later.
I mean, you'd be great to shop with. You're very stylish.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I just mainly carry around things for a while and then put them back because I go, I can't afford this. Or I just buy everything. So I think it would really not be as exciting as I hope.
Oh, my Instagram has got, it knows me so well now. It just shows me things that I think are made for me. It's really stressful.
Yeah.
It's like, I hate this, but I love it. It's so convenient, but it's so expensive.
Yeah, I have trainers that just follow me around the internet. Yeah. Wherever I go, there they are.
So yeah, it's me and you. We should be a thing. Right, celebrity and characters. That was a good category. I enjoyed that. I don't think Rich has ever done that category either, so he's probably missing out. He's sending me a lot of texts apologising. No, he never will. Yeah, you have to be there, Richard. You have to be there. Things that you know that are a mental waste of space. So like the Live and Kicking number, for example, I could ring in.
Could you?
I don't know who would answer. I also know the barcode for Cadbury's cream eggs because they never scan when I went to Tesco. 90201600. Sometimes I tweet it just to see who's out there that worked in retail.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
What don't I know? Because I've got that information instead.
Yeah.
There.
Oh, I don't retain. There are so many things that every year, like the date I'm meant to pay my tax, anything. Like I have a wife. She's also, I imagine being my wife is, I mean, at moments fun, but I'm quite annoying because I just constantly fuck things up. I constantly fuck things up. I constantly forget to do things. I don't really, like, I said to her, like, literally just before we started this, I was like, oh, my passport's here. We should put this somewhere. And she was like, go and put it in the drawer before I tell you off. So, like, and so like I don't remember really important stuff like that. Like, who are we insured with when I'm in the car and I'm driving all over the country? Like, I should know that sort of shit. And I know, you know, she'll tell me it's Admiral and I'll be like, it's Admiral. And then, like, if I got stopped, I'd be like, it's nautical, I don't know what to tell you. There's not, I'm gonna have to ring her.
It's a rank subscription.
It's some sort of rank. I'm a corporal. I tell you what's always in my head: auto glass repair, auto glass replace. Yeah, that's always knocking around.
Why isn't there?
I don't know. And it must be taking up room for other things.
Yeah, genuinely, I know so much stuff that I don't need. Like, why do I know all the words to Gangster's Paradise? Why?
You don't need that.
I don't know that information. But yeah, I had to really work to learn Nicki Minaj's Super Bass. That didn't just stick immediately. Much more
useful. Nice that you took the time on that.
Oh, I did, yeah. I thought that was going to be my thing on karaoke, and then I did it once. I was like, I'm so white. Yeah. I was like, I'll surprise people. I can rap. No, I can't. I cannot. I can say words is what I can do. But yeah, that was not a good use of my time, really. So what's your favorite mental waste of space, Leslie?
I have a lot of jingles. Speaking of jingles, I have a lot of the North American jingles that have stuck with me for years. And a lot of Canadian ones are just so unbelievably underwhelming. Like, there's a shop called Fabricland. And so they don't take up that much space because they're very short. There's a shop called Fabricland and the jingle is genuinely Fabricland. So that one's there a lot. There's Sleep Country Canada, why buy a mattress anywhere else? Ding. There's just a load of them. And every once in a while, I will just sing them to people like I'm doing now and expect it to be interesting in any other context. And it's not.
I enjoyed it.
To be fair, you asked.
Yeah, I'm pretty biased, to be honest.
there's just loads of those. Also, I've realized recently that I remember the numbers from Lost. Did you ever watch Lost?
That's quite niche knowledge.
4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42. I liked it enough at the time, but like I don't know why I've retained them. They do mention them a lot in the show, don't they? It's like the whole
not
thing.
Enough for me to retain them. I've already forgotten what you just said.
4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42.
Just zoned out. I know my dial-up password for the internet from when I was 15. which is about 16 digits, because that's how often I was putting it in that I still remember it. And now, because it's so random, I use bits of it for all of my passwords, so I can't tell you what it is.
You must be really good with remembering numbers then, because I don't know anyone's phone number other than my own and my dad's. I don't know my mum's. I couldn't, like, if I was in a crisis.
Need to, really.
No, but I can't.
Until you do. And then
then you really fucking need them.
That is usually an emergency.
I think you've got a skill there, Vic. So I think maybe you could be like a code breaker or something.
Ooh.
I don't have any common sense at
all. Ah, that will be an issue.
I can't apply this.
Okay. No, you're right. You're right. It's fucking useless.
Let me talk to you about the Nicki Minaj stuff again.
Yeah. Go for it.
Right, on to the next thing. The new category. The best or worst thing you've ever worn.
Oh, God.
So I had... So for my 15th birthday, my mum bought me tickets to see Destiny's Child. A huge day, we can all agree. Wow. For me and my friend.
Which formation?
The three. So... Okay. Kelly Rowland, Beyonce Knows, Michelle Williams.
The best ones.
The best ones, let's be honest. Sure. Yeah, I'd say so. They were playing Wembley. It was quite a big deal. We were going to be going up to London. It was all very exciting. I was going with my friend Emma Sutcliffe. No relation to Peter. So I'm about 15, right? So I think we were going in like the May. I got the tickets for my birthday, which is in January. Not long after that, I found what I considered to be the dream outfit to wear to see Destiny's Child. I want you to appreciate this was around the time of Survivor.
Okay.
If you just sort of cast your minds back, they were wearing quite a lot of denim. So I saw a denim catsuit and I thought, well, this is everything. This is everything. And so this is what I will be wearing. So mum bought me the denim catsuit. It's great. I kept it, you know, I wanted to keep it nice and for best. So I obviously didn't wear it. Cut to about 2 weeks before the concert. So this is, you know, 4 or 5 months later. I try on the catsuit. I've had a real growth spurt in this time. It's not ideal. It's not ideal around the vagina. It's also not ideal around the ankles. And there's very little we can do about the vagina other than just accept that that's happened. But mum thought, we don't worry about the fact that it's sort of their ankle swingers now. There's something we can do about this. So my mum sewed on. She's a dab hand with a sewing machine. She sewed on... some suede fringing.
Oh, wow. I still don't know if this is your best or worst outfit.
I think it's up for the listener to decide. I will let you know that I did look like a Shire horse. So just sort of the long hair over the hoof. But let me tell you, I had a lovely time. I had a really lovely time, but I'd really filled out a bit since buying the catsuit. So I was really packed into the thing, but...
that's what Beyonce would have wanted.
But I think it's what Beyonce would have wanted. Yeah. Exactly. You know, I wanted to wear more than jeans and a nice top.
What did Emma wear?
I think Emma went for jeans and a nice top. And probably looking back, she's thinking, I absolutely made the right fucking decision there. There's a car crash next to me. But listen, people might be listening thinking, Suze, that sounds like a great outfit. Maybe bring it back. And maybe I will.
I would like that.
Yeah, you definitely
do. Does it still exist somewhere?
I think I've got even taller since then. So I think what would have become sort of quite an uncomfortable area around the vag would now be sort of more of sort of a clinical procedure, which I'm gonna sort of steer clear of, if I'm honest.
It's fair enough.
Yeah.
It's fair enough. You don't want thrush.
Do you know what? No one wants thrush.
No.
And I don't want it. It's horrible. And, you know, look, I'll be honest, I'm a busy lady. It's the last thing I need. So I'll be leaving the denim catsuit where it is.
I'm kind of sad that I didn't get to see it. I went to see him. I went to see Justin Timberlake and we all wore jeans, ripped, like white blue denim jeans, t-shirts that said, we're bringing Justin back, and on the back, to Wales.
Lovely. And
those hats, those little gangster hats, white with a silver pinstripe.
Oh, do you mean like a trilby?
Yeah. What a look. What a look.
It's very strong.
All different shapes and sizes. So it looked like some kind of Weight Watchers before and after compendium. It was a mess.
Oh, that's funny.
It was such a mess. I don't know what I was thinking. Occasionally I uncover the photo and just feel sad for myself. I didn't even like Justin Timberlake that much. And then we went up to Birmingham. It was Birmingham NEC to see him. And we got so drunk in the pub before that several girls can't even remember the show.
How old were you, Vix?
Oh, so too old for that. Like 21, 22.
Oh, yeah.
We were all working in the Admiral Call Centre, funny enough. And yeah, we were.
Can you get me a deal on my insurance?
Probably. I'll give it a go.
Thanks.
I worked there for quite a while. I was, my favourite feedback ever when I worked in the call centre was, you've been very helpful, but I can tell you don't want to help me. And I felt like I
safe.
I peaked in passive aggression at that point. I've done everything and nothing for you, and we both know it, and you can't complain. But you did try all the same. I also got in trouble at Tesco because somebody was buying condoms, and I thought we were having some, you know, good banter, and I was like, something for the weekend, sir. I mean, didn't think that was funny at all.
I like that.
But the supermarket manager was like a benign granddad. So he just treated all the like 17-year-old staff like we were his grandchildren. So he just kind of ruffled my hair and went, don't do it again. I was like, aww. I definitely will. It was really funny. And they're in shiny wrappers. So they're really hard to scan. And people think you're making a production of it to be mean, but you're not. They just don't scan. And then you have to type the number in. So you have to have it at eye height. So you're like waggling these Durex around. It's like,
wow, that's funny.
Yeah, I once told a smoker who said, oh, that's quite cheap. I was like, you might as well just roll up your banknotes and smoke those because that would be better for you. Again, a complaint. I said I conscientiously objected to being in a cigarette kiosk. They should have taken me at my word. But yeah, I was a little cow when I was 17. Kind of missed that.
Yeah, I'm no, a people I like pleaser that. Now. That's such a good vibe. Just not that not giving a shit thing is just, I admire that so much. I've got a bit of that, but also I also massively care what everyone thinks. So I'm in a very strange balance.
I love the idea of being one of those people that's like, I genuinely don't care what people think of me, but I do because I'm a human.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very much no worries if not, but I'm already worrying.
Yeah, like no worries if not, but also worries.
But
like,
very worried all the time.
Also, I'm terrified. A comic. Like I stand on stage trying to make strangers laugh. Like, of course I care what people think of me. I want them to think I'm funny.
Exactly. We are by default going to be people pleasers because we are putting ourselves out there and being like, please like me.
Yeah, we actively want to please people as a job. It's nice though. What a nice mission in life. Anyway, what's the worst or best thing you've ever worn, Leslie?
I've been really struggling to think of it because, I don't know. I feel like I've blocked some of the worst ones probably out of my memory, especially being like, because I'm 6'3" and, you know, like quite heavy. And so definitely I've had a lot of things that have not fit the way they should. And lots of, you know, it's tall clothes have gotten better, but, you know, there was a time. But the best thing this is the amount of effort I put into this outfit for the amount of sort of response I got was quite upsetting. So it's very confessional. I used to do some cosplay, never like well, but I definitely had a phase in my life where I used to like go to conventions and cosplay when I was a teenager and maybe early 20s, but I eventually got over it. I mean, it's an admirable thing when people can do it well, but it just, yeah, you know, you got to try things in life. And I had one year where I was trying to figure out what my costume should be for this convention. And I was like, oh, I'm going to dress up as Tonks from Harry Potter. It's before we knew J.K. Rowling is a garbage human. And so I'm like, I'm going to dress up as Tonks, but I'm going to do it in a really cool way where it's not that like, so I decided to like do like a low key sort of like casual Tonks outfit. And so I like made a t-shirt for a band that exists in the wizarding world.
and I like made a key card.
Very good.
It was like, I was really proud of it. Like I had all these tiny details. I was like, okay, when she was in Hogwarts, she was in Hufflepuff. So I made a Hufflepuff tie that I was like, she'd be kind of punk and just like wear a little like Avril Lavigne style, like just wear a tie with a t-shirt. And I had pink hair and I just had all these tiny details that I'd put into it. And I feel like the entire time I was at this convention, no one noticed I was cosplaying at all. Because I just look like a person wearing normal clothes, but all the thought I put into it, like it was sort of an upsetting thing. Actually, that's reminded me, 1 year for Halloween, I didn't have a costume and I decided last minute, I thought it would be really funny I was in high school at the time, to, as a last minute costume, just wear my brother's Blockbuster uniform and dress like a Blockbuster employee. And again, like everyone was just like, oh, do you have a shift after school? And I'm like, no, it's Halloween. Imagine, it wasn't one of my better Halloween costumes, but like still, I just, yeah, no, I just can't be bothered to change my clothes. Like, yeah.
No, I had one yesterday. I'm still wearing it.
Nothing sexier than a Blockbuster uniform.
I tried to do a visual gag on my Funny Women semi-final where I talked about things that impulse buys that I'd bought, and it was going to queue in and I was going to put my hair behind my ear and I had elf ears on and people were going to go, ah, ha, ha, that's what she did. No one got it.
Oh,
I had to do
no.
6 minutes in elf ears with nobody understanding why.
I prefer photos
of me with no context whatsoever.
I think that's funny.
I did not get through. there's just photos of normal women and just me in the corner covered in glitter with these elf ears on, like an absolute knob.
I remember seeing those photos.
What is wrong with this girl? It's just a style choice.
I know you, so I know what's wrong with you.
Oh yeah, well, I played Dungeons and Dragons as well. I already had the ears. I didn't buy them for that. They were already on site. You've got three different versions as well. You've got like some rustic ones, so like Dobby style.
Oh yeah. Oh,
and some, like more Legolas, and then like real big ones. So you could choose. You can choose which elf you felt like being.
That's nice.
So, yeah,
I was once at a gig years ago. This is absolute years ago. And I was wearing a shirt and like a, I think in America they'd call it a sweater vest, like a you know, like a jumper with no
like
sleeves,
a tank top. Yeah.
Tank top, sure, like yeah, a. That's... And I had my I wear glasses, but I don't wear them on stage, and I had my glasses on as well, and someone said to me. I said, oh, hi, I'm Susie. I'm the middle spot or whatever. And they were like, oh, I never realized you were a character. Like, I didn't know you were a character act.
Oh,
and I
God.
Was like, oh, no, this is just my clothes. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like, I'm not. This is just what I wear. But I realized sort of as I said it, how sort of desperate I sounded. Like, no, this is what I wear. And then it was quite an awkward moment. And yeah, I mean, that's the end of that story. But it was quite stressful at the time.
Yeah, that's trauma.
Yeah, right?
I, as Vix knows, because you've actually bought one of these. I have a thing where I just like to design stupid t-shirts for myself and then order them. And my best one I've done is, I'm obsessed with the Beatles. And so I had the idea to do the cover of Let It Be, but just my own face four times and just to say Leslie over top of it. And so I did it. And it's like, I pulled it off really well. It's I'm very impressed with it. It was one of my, I started it before lockdown, but I finished it in lockdown. I had the time to do it well.
It is lovely.
It's one of my favorite things. And like 10 people have bought them, which is really nice. But when I first got them, I was doing an online gig because lockdown, and it wasn't going well. It was more of a workshoppy vibe, which we were not warned about, but that's apparently the person running it had not opened it to audience at all. It was not fun. But at one point I was sort of struggling. I was just sort of like, I don't know what else to say. And I was like, oh, look what I made. And I showed this t-shirt that I'd made that I just got and I was so proud of. And the woman running the gig was like, is that you? And I went, yeah. Like, me on camera, a t-shirt with my own face, which looks like me on it four times in my name. And she was like, oh, I couldn't tell because the t-shirt's in black and white and you have green hair. It's just quite, that's really stuck with me because there, I would think that I would, that in grayscale I'd still be recognizable, but apparently not.
That's so weird. It's so very obviously you.
I know. To the point where I'm like, I made this. That's my name on it.
What a great show that must have been.
Oh my God. I'll tell you all about it later.
Sounds like an anxiety dream.
Yeah.
Truly, I was one of the other acts who was on as a friend of mine. So like after about an hour had passed after the show, I was just sitting in my bedroom feeling sad. And I was like, oh no, everything's terrible. After about an hour, I messaged my friend being like, and she was like, yeah, that fucking sucked. And I was like, thank God. Like, it was just such a bad time for all of us.
Oh,
yeah,
gigs.
I mean, online gigs.
You just forget that there's audience. Like, it's like people are supposed to be being entertained and we're just all having a chat. Like,
yeah. It just was, yeah.
My current new job I got though, because I ran a corporate comedy night for them. So.
Oh, wow.
That's how I got the job.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah, because they do PR. They're a PR agency, and I told them all the worst things I'd ever done in PR to entertain them, with no understanding that a few weeks later I might be interviewing for them. It's like there was.
What are the worst things you've done in PR?
Oh my God! I went to a really big party. It was a work party. And I drank, and I woke up in the morning and I
get the feeling you can be a bit of a loose cannon, Vic. So I hope everyone's saying that.
No, it's valid.
Is it on brand? Okay.
So I woke up and I thought, I've got away with it. I feel amazing. This is brilliant.
Nightmare scenario.
Went for lunch, absolutely stuffed myself. I had like three items from Itsu. I was like, delicious. And I sat in the meeting. We were 5 minutes in. I started to feel hot. And then I realized I was going to be sick.
Yeah, I've been there.
And I just had that moment where your mouth gets a bit wet. And so I went off to the really flashy client toilets. We're in their offices. And I didn't quite make it into the cubicle. So I put my hands up reflexively to catch it.
No.
And then sick washed my own face and the surrounding area. And then I there was a moment where I thought, because it was all over the floor in these fancy toilets, it's all over my face, my hair was wet. I thought, I'm gonna have to quit. I'm just gonna have to leave this toilet, walk out the door, forget any stuff I've left in the office. I don't work there anymore. There is no way out of this. And then I had to clean it up, and it was the toilet roll dispensers that only did it square by square.
Oh no.
So that was harrowing. That was a harrowing experience. So I managed to sort of clean it up. It took about 10 minutes, or it felt like it took an hour, but it can't have been an hour. It felt when I was on my hands and knees in my business dress, wiping his hair, drying my hair under the hand dryer, and obviously knowing that the client and the whole team were in there thinking I was having a shit.
Yeah,
as well.
100%.
And then you don't know what's worse, the idea they think you might have been sick all over yourself, or you've gone in the middle of
just in case they think I've just had a shit. I'd prefer you all to know that last night I poisoned myself with booze.
I was sick. And,
Shout out the stall. No, I'm just doing drugs.
Yeah, I did that once actually in
drugs.
I was in the Ivy, and I don't get to go to places like the Ivy very often, so I was very excited to be there. But I had a stomach bug, so I was in and out of the toilet, and they thought I was doing coke, and so I got kicked out. And I let them think that rather than go, no, actually it's diarrhea.
Yeah, I've got the shit.
I went, oh no, okay. I wasn't. It was something completely different, as anyone who went in after me could have attested. But yeah, I thought I got away with it though. I was sat in the meeting. I was dynamic. I was moving around a lot because I was worried I smelled of sick. And I noticed the client looking into the cowl of my business dress.
No.
And I looked down and there were peas in it. So she knew and I knew. And I just, without pausing, just tip them down my dress.
No.
See, I told this story to my current employer, and somehow I still work there. So whatever happens next is on them, basically.
Yeah, totally.
I was really clear. It's not to be trusted. But yeah, that was really early on in my PR career as well. So, but yeah, here I am.
Yeah, you're still going.
I'm doing this. Yeah. You've all bought into the idea this podcast is doing well. That's why you're here. It's amazing. Yeah. It's the greatest trick I've ever played. It's like everything you close. Anyway, I can't even remember what the category was now. I think it was things that we were wearing. I don't know how we got.
Yeah,
you were wearing peas in your tits.
I was. Well, initially in the cowl neck, but then, yeah, shortly into the bra. What a delight. What a delightful employee I was.
what a lovely segue.
Oh, I know. What a dream. You never know where the show's going to go. It often does arrive at toilets. I've started to make it a category now because so often it gets there anyway that you might as well. Sarah Barron told an amazing story on the Twitch one. And it didn't record, so nobody will ever hear it. But it was genuinely one of the best toilet related stories I've ever heard. And I can't tell you in case it's now in her set, because I was crying. I was laughing so much, I was crying, and I couldn't
love
stop.
Sarah Barron, she's fucking hilarious.
It was incredible.
Yeah, she's incredible.
It was the perfect level of like heartwarming and crass. I don't know how it was done, but it's beautiful. Right. Anyway, onwards. Right, it's a Halloweeny themed one, so it's superstitions. Okay. Have you got any? What do you think of people who do? I saw two magpies outside earlier, and I was like, "Well, initially it was one, so I was trying to get a cheeky salute off during a Zoom call with some colleagues."
You've got to be across it.
I was like, "I've got to do this," but then a second one arrived, and I was like,
"Oof." Are you? I don't know about this part. Are you meant to salute at them if there's just one?
Yeah. That's what I heard.
Okay, because the magpie rhyme is not really anything in Canada, and so I only know about it from living here and liking British things before I lived here. So that's interesting.
I think that neutralizes the sorrow.
Hello.
I don't know the science.
I just really like magpies, so I'm excited if I see any number of them.
They're so pretty. But yeah, when the second one came along.
I have tattoos of them.
Oh, two?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank God.
I don't know. I don't know if I have any. I'm sure I do. That's good. It's good that I'm saying this out loud, isn't it?
It's great. Well, if you think about it quietly, it's a really bad experience for the listener. So this is actually better.
Yeah, this is me going, I am thinking.
It's my favorite when you just look at blank faces. You're like, great. This has not gone well.
In my like logical mind, I'm like, I don't really believe in anything where I think I believe in ghosts, but that's a different question. But with things like horoscopes, you know, people will say like, oh, you're a Capricorn, I'm a Libra, we should be friends. I'm a bit like, all right, I'll be the judge of that.
Are you a Capricorn?
Like, yeah.
I'm a Libra. Capricorn thing to say. That's such a Capricorn thing to say.
Like, I kind of have very little time for that. But then at the same time, I'm really like, I'm constantly terrified that like the world's going to conspire against me. So I'll be like, I'm not going to be worried if I don't salute a magpie. And then when no one's looking, I'll be like, all right, mate, and give him a little one.
Just in case.
So I don't really adhere to any of it, but I will do it just in case there's a witch watching.
I am so excited to find out about this magpie salute thing, because I think I kind of did anyway, because as I say, I'm very excited when I see them. So I'm probably just the same way I always say hi to foxes. I just love them.
Do they ever say hi back?
You know you're meant to bow at a fox in this country, don't you? That's what we do in this country, bow at a fox.
The etiquette of that, the audacity to just speak directly to them before you
bow. You bow first.
Wood's got rounds. Leslie doesn't respect foxes.
And I do. All I do is talk about how much I love them, don't I?
It's true. You do. It's one of my favorite bits of Leslie's material, but it's quite old now, but I keep demanding it when I go to the gigs. Yeah. She's like, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I'm like, do the thing about your favorite fox.
Yeah, I do. I have been
you
doing
have
that
a favorite
a lot.
One.
I have, yeah. Well, I have two favorite ones. Should I tell them on the podcast? This is so excited.
I love all this right. story.
And the way I always set it up on stage is to kind of go, oh, you know, sorry, I'm it's like a bit into the set, and I go, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't acknowledge this earlier. I know you've been wondering. The best fox I've ever seen. Nothing. And then I tell my story, which is, and this is genuinely true. One time it was like 6 a.m. I was waiting for the bus across the road from my flat, and I saw a lady jogging by, and she didn't know this, but there was a fox running after her.
Right.
Yeah, and it made me really, really happy. Like, it was great because the way I always say it, I'm like, you know, I sort of knew in that moment I was an optimist, because I think if I was more pessimistic, I would have thought it was chasing her. But I think it just really wanted to join in.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, she did absolutely had no clue, and this fox looked delighted. Like, it was so happy. It was running along.
Was it running along on two legs or four?
Like a dog.
Just so I can
on
get
four.
An image. Sure.
Like okay. a dog, yeah.
I don't know if it was, like... I don't know if it had taken up jogging.
That'd be amazing. I would at that point wonder whether I was seeing things, I think.
Sure.
The second best fox I've ever seen. It was 3 a.m. I was walking home very drunk from a bar. Big Red on Holloway Road.
Oh, I miss that place.
Yeah, it's there, but someone else has taken it over and is trying to pretend they're Big Red. And it's not, there's a whole thing, isn't there? So I was walking home from Big Red and I walked through a park. And as I walked through a park, I saw a fox sitting next to a pile of bread. Just like slices of bread. Like, I don't know the story behind this pile of bread, but it was there. And I was really drunk. And so I decided that I was going to make a friend. So I went and I was like, I sort of was like, tried to approach the fox. And as I tried to approach the fox, it got up and started to walk away from its pile of bread. It feels very weird to just be doing material on the podcast. I'm sorry.
You're not normally allowed. I'm allowing this.
Okay, cool.
I normally call people out for it.
It's just because it's your favorite thing.
Yeah, so I want to hear it.
So it got up and started to walk away from its pile of bread, and I felt really bad. So I went, no, sorry. I'll go. And as I turned to leave, it went back to its pile of bread. And then the way I say it is material, I'm like, you know, and I feel like it's, you know, oh God, now I can't remember my own material because I'm overthinking it. You know, sometimes in life we can really feel like we're intruding or not really know why anyone would want us around at all. But I think as long as you don't chase anyone away from their piles of bread, it's all okay.
Such a good manifesto for life.
Nice. But it's, yeah, it's, I genuinely, I probably could list more, but those are the two. I kind of like the idea of to diminishing returns, like listing more and more and more foxes, but those are the best ones. And the rest are just like, you know, I said hi to a fox from across the street and it sat and stared at me for ages. And now I know because it was furious. I didn't give it its proper respect. You know, like,
it was waiting for you to, yeah, genuinely.
Yeah, I'm just always delighted. I just love them. Again, this is one of these things of not being from this country. And so even though I've lived here for 8 years, just seeing foxes in the middle of the city, I'm just like, that's so cool.
Do you not have foxes in Canada?
Well, we just like, I suppose they wouldn't be in the middle of the city, I guess is the thing. You know, it's like, I think like raccoons and stuff would be more likely that the equivalent to that.
Okay.
Yeah, so it just is the thing, like there would be foxes in like the big field near my parents, like suburban house, but that was still exciting but different, you know.
Do you know that during the pandemic, or like the animals like foxes, but more importantly, not more importantly, but more commonly, I guess, rats, because in central London that's where so many of them eat because of all the restaurants and stuff. During the pandemic, rats and foxes have migrated to the suburbs.
Wow.
So like much like so many people. London.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's happening.
Margate full of them.
Yeah. Isn't that weird though? I'd love to know what the, like, whether they, like, how did they get there?
Yeah.
Is it a tube scenario? Are they on foot? What's going on? I find it very gross.
That is so interesting.
Not foxes, but rats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, weird Pied Piper situation.
Yeah.
Maybe.
To Brighton. Obviously, only the gay ones.
Well, of course. Or allies. You can't have anyone that's sort of not down with the queers.
Yeah, they're all in the sea, wild swimming. It's great.
Of course, nude. Lovely.
Well, by virtue of the fact that they're animals, they're always naked, aren't they?
Winnie the Pooh's not.
That's true. Well, I mean, I feel like he should switch which half he covers.
Yeah.
I've got a friend that sleeps like Winnie the Pooh. Isn't that weird?
No, it's like, no, it's always pants first. You can't.
No, and he's a boy as well. He's a boy.
No.
So it's just like the top of the t-shirt sort of rests on his weenie.
Is this Tom Allen? Is this what he says at home?
No,
he takes off the suits. Just walks around.
No, it's definitely not Tom Allen. I know for a fact that he wears monogrammed pajamas.
I was going to say, I would see him with nothing on
brand.
Right. That's it. We're done.
We're done.
All the categories. I know.
Aww.
I'm gutted.
Marvelous. That was very fun. Thank you for
having
me.
Yeah, that was really nice.
See, we didn't need Rich.
No.
But no, we don't feel bad for him.
We still miss him though.
Yeah.
This is like, now he never gets to know what the best thing he's ever worn
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I guess we'll never know.
We're never gonna find out.
He's quite a well-dressed man. So.
I know. Yeah. So I think it would be good, but it might be surprising. It might be like a vintage sweatshirt that to me just looks like PE kit, but it's from like the 1900s or something.
Vix, I think.
I was going to say, I've seen him in like a massive leotard. He might have said that.
I don't know. What is best or worst?
It'd be up to him. I wouldn't like to say.
I think, Susie, that your friend should come on the podcast and then Vix can find out whether the Winnie the Pooh pajama look is the best thing he's ever worn.
Or the worst. We can tell him. Or the only. Worst.
That's fine. I'll speak to Ross and see what he has to say.
Right. While I add up the scores, let's find out what you guys are doing. So this will go out next week, so you can be quite relevant. So what's coming up for you, Susie Ruffle? Oh my god, we need to quickly talk about the fact that you had Savage Garden Man on the podcast.
I had Darren Hayes on my
podcast. Oh yeah, I saw that.
I was so excited.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. He's probably one of the best guests we've ever had. I think it's one of the best podcasts we've ever done. Yeah, his name is Darren Hayes. And I do a podcast called Out with Susie Ruffle, the new series just begun. This week it's Darren Hayes. Next week it's Jane Hill. And we've got lots of other great people coming up. Over the course of the next 10 weeks. My podcast with Tom Allen, which is called Like-Minded Friends, is coming back. That's coming back in November. I'm also on the road on tour. So if people want to find out where I'm going, they can find out all of that at susieruffle.com.
Amazing. That's busy then.
Busy enough.
Just a bit busy. No, I'm so excited. I followed Darren Hayes' solo career as well. I was that into it.
He's quite, I mean, he's so lovely. I'm in love with him.
My brother-in-law is having artwork made of something. He did a pie chart of what Savage Garden believe in affirmation and how many times they're said. So he's got it as like a pie chart. And he asked me if I wanted a framed one because he's having merchandise made.
And absolutely you do.
Could you please send me the link to that? And I might send one to Darren.
What Savage Garden believes, and it's all in this pie chart. It is really funny. It deserved better. I was like, this is going to go viral, right? And then between us with our 10 followers, it did not.
Please send me the link to that.
I will. Leslie, where will we find you? You're on tour with
Andrew. But I don't know. I don't know which tour dates I have coming up, but like, just keep an eye on Andrew O'Neill's tour, and I will occasionally be at some of the shows.
I mean, go to all of them just in case. I reckon that's
exactly. I have a podcast with my friend Katie Mitchell. It's called A Fun Time with Katie and Leslie. It's very silly and surreal, and probably quite irritating in a nice way. Huh. And so everyone should listen to that. We don't have many listeners, but the people who listen really like it. I'm on social media. I'm Rainbow Ziggy on Twitter and Instagram, and Boobsley on Facebook. Because it's a reference to a very old joke I haven't done in years. And I co-run a comedy club second Friday of every month at Aces and Eights in Tufnell Park called Troy Club. I co-run it with Andrew O'Neill, who I'm doing tour support for.
It's so great.
There's no night like it. So fun. There's one tonight. Most of the people who book tickets so far are my coworkers, which is nice, but also I hope more people... We have someone from Red Dwarf as a headliner. Like, I'm sure we'll...
I was so excited when I saw he was touring again. He's really funny.
I haven't ever seen him. I'm excited to see him.
But... I told him about, because basically one of my first encounters with stand-up comedy was on a Red Dwarf VHS that I had, because there were some extra bits at the end and it was some bits of his stand-up. And there's a joke that he did about his dog and how his dog is basically so bougie that he wanted the tap run loads before he filled the water up. And I just vividly remember word for word this joke. And that's always been my aspiration, to have one thing that gets quoted. Because it's the Baileys for me.
Oh, thanks.
Like, every time I have Baileys, I think of that bit that you do.
Think of my mum.
Yeah.
Having a pint
in a not weird way. Just like, what is the unit of measurement for Baileys? It's not clear.
It's really not clear.
Pint of Baileys. But yeah, so I told him that, obviously. I was like, let me talk to you about a joke, Norm.
I bet he loved that.
I was such a nerd. So I met Robert Llewellyn as well. He was Crichton, because I used to work in car motor and he does like electric vehicle stuff now. So I came up with a really superfluous reason for us to go out for lunch. And then he came and I was just like, nah. I tried to get him to come to one of my gigs and I'd only done about 10. So I'm really glad he didn't, because it would have been shit. But Susie, you are the winner, but it was very, very close. There's a lot of pressure because it was two of you. It was a head to head. But the real winner is obviously the listeners, because it was really fun. So thank you so much for coming on. You are now free to go.
Thanks for listening to The Comedy Arcade. There'll be a new episode next Thursday with new balls and new guests. If you liked it, like us any way you can and subscribe and tell all your friends. Also, tell us. We're in all the usual places on all the social media. And if you didn't like it, I've been Sean Walsh and this is What's Upset You Now. The USP is it's only 15 minutes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.